Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everybody, my name is Priscilla Leona. I am producer and host of this show, Question Reality, coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And this show is definitely for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. For 8 years, our guests have provided advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully. Do you believe that's a new word, everybody? Successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business positions. Now, the guests on our show, as you know, are Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, dancers, models, musicians. We even throw in an entertainment lawyer once in a while. The list just goes on and on. So what's important to note is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who can personally relate to your situation and be able to answer any of your show business questions on the air, or they're able to answer them after listening to the show. It's courtesy of our show. You are able to contact them. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you can always go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website. You just search for our title, Question Reality, or by my name, Priscilla Leona, and all of the Question Reality shows are available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. So please also make sure that you get your newly designed free app on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website, and it's located towards the bottom. I've had so many emails that I can't find it. Where is it? Towards the right, down at the bottom. So finally, very exciting news. If you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show, as you know, we are always booked 6 months to a year in advance, but we are currently booking for 2017. So please go to our official website, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link. And that's where you can submit to be on the radio show. Because I tell you, I got a list, but you can still submit. Right now, we're booked until March, but, you know, please, it's just better that you submit, and that way you can get booked. And then if you have to reschedule because you have a gig or you booked a TV show or a film, it's all good. No problem. Oh, my God, I'm under so much stress, tension, and anxiety. I woke up with a fever of 101, and it's not even from the Foreigner song. This is, like, totally real. I don't know what the hell happened at the Malibu Winery yesterday, but, my God, there was kissing involved. There were so many people, and, you know, if there's a hot guy, you know, I'm trying to kiss up on all of them, so Lord knows what one of them got from a hoochie mama, because I am sick as a dog today. And Albert gave me some Theraflu. And my God, that shit, I think that should be on the market as a hot drug. You got crack, you got your, well, crack, meth, heroin, and I think Theraflu should be right up there, because I took some of that. I was out like a light. Didn't wake up till 3 o'clock, like a maniac running around. But I made it here, and it is crazy out there with the trickling rain. Of course, in California, I'm from the East Coast, but in California, if the rain comes down, everybody is crazy on the freeway. So we were stuck in traffic forever, but I'm here now. And not only am I here, but we have in the, let me tell you. It is hot in here, but it was not as hot as when Eric Erickson walked in that damn door, let me tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, because he is hot to both. This guy today on the show, and boy, when I posted that he was coming on the show, all of a sudden I got a ton of emails. Is he single? Oh my God. Holy Jesus. Oh my God. So just tons of emails. And let me tell you, he does not disappoint. Now, I was producer on two of his projects, Last Call at Murray's and Carbon Dating. And I remember seeing him on the street. I'm like, Jesus, Lord, is this man for real? Holy moly, holy macaroni cannoli. There's no way he looks that good in person. Well, people, let me tell you, better gung up. Give me that applause. Give me some applause. Eric Erickson in the house. Oh, my God. Now, just we're going to tell you a little bit about him in a minute. We have my husband, Albert Biko, on the board today. Let's get a little applause meter. You know I like my tacky little. Yes, I do. Yes. Grown to love my tacky little side. I mean, first they were complaining. I got emails. They're like, what the hell are you doing? Stop it with the gong and the applause. Now they love them and I'm getting people suggesting more. So thank you, everybody. So we have Albert on the board. And then we have today my cousin from the East Coast. She is not in the entertainment industry, but she is an Eric Erickson fan. And she had to come on the show today when she found out that he was going to be on because she has a curiosity about the entertainment industry, and I thought, what better to bring her on as a little co-host? Again, she's not in the entertainment industry, but she has lots of questions because who doesn't? Everybody wants to know what Eric Erickson's doing, right? He's like, what the hell's he doing? What's he doing in the morning? What's he doing in the afternoon? What's he doing in the bathroom with the door shut? Well, we know that, but who knows what Eric Erickson's doing now? Let me tell you who Eric Erickson is. If you don't know, he is an actor, a writer, and he calls himself a self-proclaimed troublemaker. Now, we're going to find out about that because, girls, when you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, you can get in trouble with me. We can make trouble all night long. But he also calls himself the Angry Viking. I like that. Angry Viking. Now, go to his website. It's theangryviking.com. He's also on Twitter as E.P. Erickson. Yes, I guess that's his middle name. We're going to find out. And he's on Instagram as the Angry Viking and also, oh, Paul on Facebook. Eric Paul Erickson on Facebook. So you want to go there and follow him and tweet him. And girls, let me tell ya, it's worth your time. Get that Vaseline and the batteries going and just pull his picture up and it, you are good for the night. Bottle of wine, Eric Erickson's with you. He's with you. Now, Eric Erickson, the Angry Viking actor, writer, troublemaker, graduated from the University of Southern California School of Theater, and he spent his early years performing in theaters across the country in roles ranging from Hamlet and Mercutio to Conrad Birdie, oh, one of my favorite characters, and Charlie Chaplin. Oh my gosh, I can't see him as Charlie Chaplin, but I'm curious about that, what he did as Charlie Chaplin. He has been seen in a ton of feature films, including Damn Sharks, one of the ones that I was producer on, Last Call at Murray's, and also I was producer on Carbon Dating, hysterical, funny show, and he was recently on the hit television show The Last Ship, which is one of Albert's absolute favorite shows. He never misses that. And among many other things that Eric does, which we want to know about, but I can only get so much out of him. But he also does comedy, and he performs at the world-famous comedy store, Garrett Morris's Downtown Comedy Club, and with the Rebels of Comedy. And he even spends some time as the master of ceremonies in one of Wrigleyville's largest sports bars, working a crowd of thousands of cub ceremonies. Oh my gosh, I wonder what he did there. And he dealt with fans and a little bit of trivia. Eric is, are you ready? Now, when you see him, girls, you're going to know this is true. Eric is a direct descendant of the, I don't know how the hell you pronounce this. We're going to have his help. The Yingling Viking Dynasty. Ooh, give me applause on being a Viking because I come from Viking stock too. And a gong applause. Yes. Yes, we love Viking men. Oh my God. What woman doesn't want a man who comes from Viking stock? You know, those bitches could go all night long. We like our Viking men. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Eric Erickson.
Thank you.
Wow.
That has got to be the greatest introduction I've ever received.
Oh.
In ever.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, this is real clapping. Yes.
Very
laughing. Well, you deserve it, Eric Erickson. Now, wow. Some of your recent projects include Last Call at Murray's, mm-hmm. which, oh, you were hysterical.
Oh, thank you.
I've seen it so many times, and my God, you got to see it. You got to see it. You can go. It's on, where can we see it?
I don't think they've gotten distribution yet. It's okay. At the film festival circuit right now. Okay. So you don't want to distribute it. You got to win the awards first, you know?
And you know what? If you are doing a project with Linda Palmer, which I've done many, you are going to win 2250 awards.
Well, we did just win at the Laughlin Film Festival. We just won Best Ensemble.
Okay.
So the entire cast got to share in that. So that's a great thing.
Wow, yeah. You know?
Because it really is. If you haven't seen it, it's an ensemble film. Michael Gross is, and John Savage are at the lead there. They're taking everything going behind them. But everybody has a great part. There's all these wonderful intersecting storylines. And it's just it's a great ride.
Yeah.
So to be recognized, all of us together, was such a cool thing, you know?
And there was such, I mean, again, I could see it like 50 million times, but there were so many powerful actors there, including one of my favorites, Eileen Gruba. I mean, I could watch her all day and all night. My God, she's so versatile.
Getting everything that she deserves. I think it's so wonderful in this industry to see someone who's worked for a really, really long time, especially uphill with her, with some health issues, and just basically just doing, you know, the best she can as a female actor, to use the proper term we all use now. I mean, it's been great to see all the wonderful roles that are coming her way, and she is just part of the heart and soul of that movie as well.
Oh, yeah. And she's out there. She is pumping up the volume on diversity and diversity in acting, and she's really out there trying her best to promote actors who are in wheelchairs and who are out there who have multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. and because there is a term, and I cannot remember it. It's kind of a long word, but it's a term that you use in the entertainment industry when you want to cast an actor that has a disability in a wheelchair, but you end up casting an actor that doesn't have a disability. Well, anyway, she's making awareness for this particular field, which is really wonderful because we just have to get the writers to write more parts. There's a show now on. Are you familiar with it?
Speechless?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my! How wonderful is that? I mean, you got to write more shows like that because in the world, there aren't just beautiful people that look like you walking around. I mean, how many of you can we have, Eric Erickson?
Oh, shucks.
We have people who are not so pretty.
It's important because it brings realism to the part. I mean, you're as an actor, you walk in and you're like, I can play any role. I can do it. I've been trained. I went to the conservatory. I've done it.
Right.
You know, but there's a fact is like if I play somebody who's a Viking, for example, I bring my own understanding of my own culture and I can put a special spin on it. But I can't bring, you know, I don't know what it's like to live in a wheelchair. I don't know what it's like to be blind. And even if I walk around with a blindfold and I try to pretend, I can never bring that exact realism that's there. And not only that, but when I play a Viking character, I am bringing, this may sound a little cheesy, but I really believe I'm bringing glory to my family. I am bringing a wonderful thing to my culture, and I'm sharing my culture with the world. Just like anybody goes, hey, I'm this belief or this religion or this culture, and I want to share it with you because I love that and I want you to love it too. It's the same thing with somebody with a disability. They're coming to the table and they're like, look, I have this, I've overcome this, or I have problems, but I want to share this with you so you understand and you see the world a little differently because of my eyes.
That's right. It's
unique.
And as a person who was not in a wheelchair and who tore her meniscus and fractured her kneecap, putting her big fat ass in a pair of stilettos and falling in the bathroom and laying in piss for a half an hour, I can tell you it's a whole different world. I'm 5'8", and in this thing, I'm like, I don't know, like 5'2", maybe your height. And I'm like, God, people are so tall, and you just feel like you're going to be run over any second. And so I've just learned to barrel through the bitches, and I just run over people's feet right and left. But it's a very different perspective. It really is. It changes. And I'm glad that there are people like her out there that do that.
I love
as well.
Her. She was so wonderful on set and just...
Yeah,
I used to carry her around set. I had to be honest.
You did?
Because we were on Murray's. We were working on this very, very small sound stage. I mean, you probably visited, and a lot of cables and a lot. It's just the way it was created because we shot the entire thing in one location, and just I saw her, trying to get around and trying to get to spot, and I'm like, you know, at first I felt kind of rude, but I just picked her up and I carried her across the stage. I'm like, where do you want to go? So I just kind of played her taxi cab and would carry her around, and she enjoyed it. So,
well, who the hell wouldn't want Eric Erickson carrying them around? Eileen didn't tell me about that action going on the set. My God, I'm going to accidentally break something while Eric Erickson's on the set, but I don't think that's going to happen. He would have to pump the Viking up about 3 times to pick me up and carry my ass across the set, but he's got the stock. But anyway, another shout out for that particular movie was the lady Alina.
Yeah, Alina.
Oh,
she got Best Actress at Loftus.
Oh, she would. Oh, yeah. Love her. I got to get her on the show.
Oh, she's
fantastic.
She plays such a character that is so different than who she is.
Right.
In the film. Oh. I mean, her character is a bitch. There's no other way to say it. And she's got... her character is great. It's one of, because we all know this woman.
Yeah.
The woman who, or the person, we all know this person. A little knowledge is a bad thing.
Yes.
Her character is a perfect example of somebody who who went to one psychology class, and now they think they're Sigmund Freud. And that's exactly what it is. But in real life, she's nothing like that.
Right. You know? Oh, okay.
You know, so she's such a warm, wonderful person. She has a daughter that she just loves so much. And we're always talking about that. And she's always showing pictures. And she loves Netflix.
Oh, good.
She's always watching Netflix.
Netflix. Who doesn't love Netflix? Love Netflix.
Because that's one of those things when you're on set, you always have to find something for your downtime.
Crazy. Candy Crush.
Exactly. Oh, well, what we did is, a lot of people were at the time really hooked on House of Cards.
Yeah.
So everybody had their little machines out. But we were kind of like, you know, this is getting everybody's going off in their corner and everybody's just kind of like going into their headset and everything. We're like, this isn't cool. Yeah. So we picked up a bunch of puzzles. And we laid out all these puzzles on the table in the middle, and everybody gravitated. And by the end of the production, everybody on their break would run to the table and like put a couple pieces
in. I love that. Who
it
plays
was so cool.
physical puzzles anymore? I love it. Can't get Albert to play. He wants to go in his room, me in my room, and we play like Star Trek or something. But yeah, physical puzzles.
You got to find something to do mentally on set. Yeah. You can't just sit around.
Yeah.
And, you know.
People don't realize how much downtime there actually is. I mean, you'll wait all day, and then, you know, if you're not a principal actor like yourself, you could wait all day, and if you have a little co-star part or you're a guest star, you're on for 5 minutes, and you've waited like 17 hours, and you got 5 minutes, and it's like, okay, bye. But there's a lot of downtime. So you do have to, you will get addicted to Candy Crush real quick. Now you have, I don't know if it's because when casting directors are looking at you, they're like, oh my God, this is Thor. But you just recently played Thor in, is it Dreffen Myers? What is that?
I played Thor, and it's a short little comedy film called about dating.
Right.
And it was that. I've actually photo doubled for Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, my God! That's
kind
my
of
fantasy,
funny.
Man!
Well, here, ladies, I'm going to take your fantasy. I'm going to watch. You're going to see her implode.
Here we go.
Ready?
Woo! Okay. Here we go.
Did you see Vacation?
Yes, I did.
Do you know the joke of Vacation about Chris Hemsworth's private parts?
No, I don't remember.
Remember
that.
Every time he would move, there was something out of his shorts would hang low.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I was his penis double.
Yeah!
I'm not kidding.
Stop.
I'm not joking
it!
At all.
Oh my God. All right.
So
we're all running that Netflix. Here we come.
So
here we come
happened.
Tonight, everybody.
Netflix
girls.
And chill. Here we come.
So what happened was Chris was actually off filming in the Heart of the Sea, the whale movie.
Right.
And they were doing reshoots for Vacation. And I got a call, and my manager was like, did you know about this? I'm like, no. And he's like, you look like Chris. They want you to come in. And I went in, and it was a prosthetic penis that they strapped to my leg. And there were two of them. And they put on the first one, and they're like, nope, too small. I'm like, all right. And then they put on the other one in it. Literally, it's like, and they go, by the way, don't ruin that. It costs $2,500. And then they're like, so they put on the clothes and they give me a towel to wrap over because you can see it. The joke is it's sticking out of the bottom. Uh-huh. And they're like, we have kids on set, so you have to keep the towel on.
Oh.
But I would walk around, and as I was meeting people throughout the day, I would like flash them just to make sure there's no kids around. And it was, this is horrible. I can't remember the name. Phil Lord and the guys who did the Lego movie, and they're doing the new Spider-Man movie. They did Jump Street and some other stuff. I could be totally wrong on that, but I'm an actor. I'm stupid.
Yeah.
So they wanted to see it, and they walked up, and I flashed them, and they're like, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, wait till we put the real one on. And they were like, love it. So,
this is the before action.
Yeah, so if you see the movie, that is that they put his head on my body. They actually literally digitally took his head and put him on my body.
Oh,
and I just did it for fun.
I gotta look for that shot. Well,
that's it. We're going to Netflix tonight. Now, you were also, you played a biker on The Young and the Restless.
I did, like 2 weeks ago. That was so much fun.
What's the difference between, because you've done film, you've done theater, you've done TV. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Because I hear doing soap operas is a whole different animal.
Totally.
Let's talk about that. Okay. How so?
Well, for one thing, it's really run and gun. I think my entire scene took less than 10 minutes to film.
Okay.
And I was there all day, and talk about just sitting there. Because it's like community theater, really. Mm. It's really like, get up, rehearse the scene once or twice, boom, go. And they change your lines, and you got multiple cameras, and it's just really, really quick. And I was talking to, I'm going to ruin a whole bunch of people's like lives right now. I was talking to my wife.
Sorry, ladies. Oh, we got to do a gong on that one. He's got the wife. Wow. No.
12 years. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I'm not sorry.
Oh,
yet.
That's actually a huge success in Hollywood to be married 12 years.
We've been together for over 15. We've been married for 12.
Oh, congratulations. So. That is, you're something
success
special.
Story.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
She's
extremely
She's my rock.
She's an actress as well?
No, she started out as an actress, and then she very quickly learned to hate the industry. So now she's in finance.
That's probably why they're still together after 12 years. You can't put two actors.
She does. She gets
together.
Just enough.
Yes.
To understand what I do. And then she's like, that's enough.
That's it.
You know?
I'm going to work.
That's the secret.
Yeah. Good job.
But so, I was talking to her, and she's like, she asked me the same kind of questions. Like, what was the experience like? And I told her, I'm like, growing up in the industry or getting older in the industry, this is the first soap that I did. But you always were told, don't screw up on a soap. And it was like this unwritten rule that it's like, if you mess your line up once, they will kick you out.
Yes!
And I, growing, you know, going to auditions, and I was always like terrified. If I got one, I was like, you know, if I screw up my line, I'm dead.
Yes.
They'll kick me out. And reality, like, I never stopped and thought about it. It's like an urban legend. I never stopped and thought, are there really alligators in the sewer? Because think about it.
Yeah.
If they hired somebody, and they cast you, and they brought you in, and they're ready to shoot, like they have another guy sitting in the back.
Right.
And that's what you think. That
that's
there's
right.
another guy sitting back there
right.
like, you are out of here.
Yeah.
Get Joe.
Next.
That's right.
And I'm like, that is so dumb. And so as soon as I realized that, I was like all my nerves went away. Yeah. And I started talking to the other cast members. And they're like telling me stories about like, what, you actually memorize your lines? We make them up on the spot. You know, they're so relaxed. Everybody's so chill. And they shoot it like an opera. I don't know if you've ever done opera or like a cross stage.
I was in Rosencavalier.
Okay, so you know how they move like one set and then they'll like cross one
right,
in. And
right.
It's basically like you have a set. There's one set, like the bar set, and you turn a little to the right and there's a bedroom set. You turn a little more and there's another set. So like we're all sitting there lounging on some like dining room set in the chairs talking all the cast and then watching them film, you know, another one. And they're like, okay, we're ready for you. So we all jump on set and I was out of there in 10 minutes.
That's so
But
different.
It was the coolest experience in a long time. I mean, I've loved working on Murray's and I loved working on Damn Sharks and all the things that I do. But it was just a different experience, and it was so much fun to, like, you get to overact a little bit,
yes.
and it works.
Well, you have
you know?
To for soap opera.
Yeah, but then you go back and watch it, and you're like, oh, why did I do that, or why did I do that? You know,
and they
perfect.
Get in on the close-ups on the soap opera.
Oh, I love my close-ups. They
really, they give you some good-ass close-ups.
Like, look at that
right?
light, look at that chin line. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, look at my Viking features. Oh. God, I'm so hot. Now, you also, now let's talk about my husband Albert's favorite show. You were on The Last Ship.
Ugh.
We want to hear what you were rogue.
I was
that,
a rogue.
Right?
I played, you know, if you follow the show, you know, they're moving along the country and there's some problems in Washington, D.C. And I was like the right hand man that got sent to bring one of the characters back, or a couple of the characters back. And then, well, if you haven't seen it by now, I got killed. It's kind of a running joke. I get killed in so many. I actually put together like a little clip reel of me just dying, and I posted
I love
it once. But what was cool about it is when I got cast in it, I got cast because I have a really heavy stunt and action background. I've worked with wrestling. I've worked with stunts. I've trained in Muay Thai, boxing. I have a lot of that, and so it was really cool. And they brought me in, and they're like, "Wow, you know how to, you can do this." I'm like, "Yeah, I can." They showed me the script. They're like, "No problem, I can do it with my eyes closed." And they're like, okay, and I get the gig, and I show up, and I look over, and we're friends now, but they're like, hey, Eric, this is your stunt double.
What?
This is your stunt double, Aaron Farmington, and we're friends now, but And he actually knows that we know all the same people. So we're sitting there like chatting. It was funny. But I'm like, what do you mean stunt double? And they're like, oh, no, he's going to do all your stunts. And I was like, no. So I went and I grabbed the stunt captain. And he's like, yeah, yeah, Arn's good. He's, you know, he had his hair long and he looked just like me. There's a photo out there of the two of us. It's hilarious. And I'm like, dude, there is nothing in the script I can't do. And he's like, are you sure? And I go, hold on. I whip up. This is why you always have your phone charged and you always download your reel onto your phone. I whipped up my phone and I showed him my stunt reel. And he looked at it and went, you're right. Aaron, come here. And he's like, you're out. Wow. And he goes, and they put the pads on me and I got to do my entire... He sat on the side and I did all of my stunts in that episode.
Wow.
And I got a new phone out of it because that's what I got paid. And I joked that Michael Bay paid for my phone. But oh yeah, God. And it was just like, I wasn't a jerk about it. I wasn't anything about it. I just said, I was hired for this.
But that adds to the fun as an actor.
Oh, I got kicked in the crotch. Yes. Oh, you want a story?
Yes, I do.
Here's for all the stunt people out there. There's an apparatus, if you don't know about this, it's basically a cargo strap that they put around 1 foot, they run it up your jeans, and they run it down the other side. And if you spread your legs and you're wearing jeans, it'll pull the seam down on your jeans because you have this really thick fabric down there. Yeah. It pulls it down and you can kick me in the crotch as hard as you want, but it won't move because the strap will catch your foot. So as sweet as she is, the woman who's supposed to kick me in the crotch, she's a stage actress and she kept trying to kick me in the leg because that's what you do in theater. That's for the nap.
That's
you try and get the sound. And I'm working with her and the stunt captain's working with her. Aaron's working with her. We're all like, no, do it. And she's like, I don't want to hurt you. Aaron kicks me in the nuts. And he's like, look, he didn't even move. And the stunt captain kicks me and he's like, he's fine. She's like, okay. And she does it. And the director's still like, we need more. We take a break and then we come back and we do it. But what I didn't know is I had gotten kicked so many times that the strap had loosened up. So if you watch the show, that's real. She goes to nut me, and the strap didn't have any tension in it, and it right into me, and she got me. And I'm like, we did the fight, I rolled over, and they all cut, and I go grab the stunt captain, and I'm like, I need like 2 minutes.
2 minutes!
And he's like, what? And I told him, he's like, come, and we went in, and I was okay, but it was definitely a shock.
I want you to tell actors, and especially aspiring actors, how important it is to have all of the skills that you have. The more skills you have in your tool chest as an actor, the more things you'll be booked for.
That's just life.
But some people, do not know that, Aaron.
No, it's...
They don't. And they say, it's too expensive. I'm a girl. I can't pick up a sword.
Can I say bullshit on this
show?
That's bullshit.
Fuck shit.
here's the thing. I'm very proud. I came out of the University of Southern California School of Theater. And when I was there, I can't vouch for how they run it now. They still run a wonderful school, but it changed a little bit. Ours was very one of those situations where you get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah.
So we all were producing shows, and we were all learning how to do lights. We did Hamlet as a passion play and learned how to get lights on the campus. So you followed it around. So we were running around with lights and like putting them up. And, and we tried to find all these new ways to do stuff. And that created this just creative energy that begets creative energy that you're like, wow, if I learn how to do a light, that'll change how I write. Or if I learn how to act a certain way, it might change how I look at things as a designer or whatever. And it's all exciting. And a lot of us, here's one damn reason you should do it right here. A lot of us who came out of USC went to work for what is now Clear Channel, the concert industry, because the guy who ran our tech school was the head chief at the Wiltern. So he hired all of us to come over and work for rock and roll shows. That's how we made a living. That's how we ate.
Right.
While he would feed us pizza and beer at night, and that was our food for the next 3-4 days. And then we'd go to our auditions. And that's because I learned other things. And if you want to make your dream come true, you can't always be walking around, I want to do a short. Oh, I want to do a feature, whatever I want to do. You can't walk around and expect other people to make your dream come true. They've got their own dreams. So why are they going to put, I can't come and light your thing because I got to pay the rent. You're right. You should have to pay the rent. But if I knew how to light, I could make that happen, or I could work with somebody. And it's just so important on so many levels. We can sit here and do hours on this.
Yeah.
Because you become a better artist,
right,
too.
If you learn how to do lights, you know where your light is, right? And you need to know where your light is.
But
if you do sound, you know how to project.
Absolutely. But then on the other side of that coin, and I've seen this on set, and I'm sure other people who are listening are like, oh, yeah. There's always that person who wants to learn how to run the camera or wants to learn how to light. And literally they will walk up to the friggin' director and look over their shoulder and be like, oh, wow. Or they will even take that one more step. Don't you think you should? And it's like, And I have seen people get kicked off sets. Yep. I have seen them just get screamed at. Watch, learn, yes. And they go practice up.
Right.
But, you know, if you develop a relationship with the crew, that's one thing, but you're there to act.
That's something that I also stress. Set etiquette. It is so important. And that's why I always stress starting out. Some people may disagree, but I love the whole idea of starting out as a background actor. There are so many things that you learn, including set etiquette, and you get to watch and see how the lights are hung, and you see the boom mic and how things are set up. But one thing you learn is set etiquette. Tell us how important that is, because actors, I've seen it being a background actor. I see them. They go right up and stand behind the camera and they want to look at the dailies. They want to look at themselves. You don't do that.
If you're in Video Village, my rule is, unless you're working on production, like I produce and I'll work, you know, above the line on certain product, you know, I get to go wherever I want because I'm the one who got the finance.
Eric brought up a very important thing. He just said above the line. There's above the line and then there's below the line. Above the line is like the producer and the director, and then below the line.
The grunts.
Oh. Yes.
It's making movies. Yeah. You know, it's like, you're just part of the
production assistant. You know,
yeah, always treat your production assistants special.
Oh, yes.
There's certain people.
That's right.
Set etiquette.
Yes.
Like Video Village. If I'm invited to Video Village, that's when I go. And Video Village is where they set up the monitors and the director and the DPs, director of photography is usually there, and maybe the star and some other people. And I always look at it as, if you're invited in there, there's something they want to show you. And as soon as they're done showing it to you...
Get out!
Exactly. Unless you have a relationship with them, which happens on a set.
But you
don't force it.
You know what actors make a mistake doing? And a lot of it comes from being nervous. They feel like they want to have a personal relationship with the director. They want to talk like personal things.
As soon as I learned that's a bunch of crap, I started succeeding so much more in this industry.
I'm so glad
you know, it's... I'll be the first to admit, like, this is my second time around. My first time around, I came out of SC. I did a lot of regional theater, a lot of Shakespeare. I did a lot of infomercials. I was in the very first infomercial for DVDs. So if you go back, and I worked for Toshiba, and I was they're like, there's this new technology called DVDs. And I was like, wow, you're going to pay me to talk about it. Awesome. But I got to a point where I got burnt out, and some things happened, and I just wasn't energized about the entertainment industry more. So that's how I got into writing, and I worked with the Chicago Tribune, and I shot for the Associated Press, and I got to do some really great things and have some wonderful adventures. But I wasn't mature yet. Mm-hmm. I wasn't comfortable in my skin. And there was a lot of things that had to happen. One of those was meeting my wife. One of those was moving around the country. I got to go on a lot of adventures that provided me with a lot of insight, because I worked for the Democratic Party, and I got to see inside how the Democratic Party works and how an election works. I got to work at the Tribune. I learned about journalism. There's all of these things I learned. So when I came back and that fire got lit again, I knew I needed to polish up, train, but I was more comfortable in my skin. I knew who I was. I knew if I went into an audition, I didn't get it. It wasn't anything personal.
Right.
It was just, you know, I was too tall. I was too short. I looked like the ex-boyfriend. I did, you know, whatever. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Because I had other things to fall back on.
Right.
And while this, what you're doing, is the most important thing in your life, it's not the only thing in your life. And priorities can change.
Yes.
It can be on Tuesday, acting can be the most important thing in your life because you've got an audition. You've got all this stuff to do. But on Wednesday, if you don't have a deadline, I'm not saying like forget how to be an actor, but use that day to be something else. Use that day to be a good husband. Use that day to be a good father. Use that day to do your charity. Use that day to just relax and not think about things.
Right.
And once I learned to balance all that out and go to auditions and have all my sides memorized, once I learned those things, my whole life changed. I started booking things hand over fist. I got opportunities. I've done.
You didn't have a sense of desperation, which a lot of actors.
Oh, that cologne. Oh,
they can smell desperation a mile away. Now, Nikki, who is a co-host today, you are a fan of Eric and you wanted to ask some questions. Why don't you take an opportunity to ask this hottie some questions?
Okay. Who is your favorite actor?
My favorite actor?
And speak a little bit louder.
That's a weird question because it's always like, it's like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing. It really, there's
How about
a lot
actors
of actors
and actresses. Maybe a male and a female.
I
don't say your favorite. You know you're going to single them out. So who are some of the people you like to see?
I can watch like Ryan Reynolds. I know most people are like,
so funny.
Love
I think, because he's
funny.
So natural.
He's so natural.
You know? And
it's
just
like
fun.
He's just, I mean, you don't even think that he memorized line. You think he's making that shit up as he goes. And that is a great actor.
Yeah, you know, I like the ones like anybody. I like to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know, and it's and I think every, like, this is, like, I like Ben Affleck. I think he's a good actor. He's not the best actor in the world. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody makes some bad choices. My gosh, I've done some bad things too. You know, there's a few of them out there. Right. But it's like, you learn from him and you enjoy from him. He's telling you a story. One of my favorite actors too, believe it, is Jason Momoa. I think mm-hmm. I really enjoy the work he does, but he's not like Shakespeare.
Stargate Atlantis. Oh. We are on a Stargate Atlantis. Every day I fix breakfast and then we watch Stargate Atlantis. We're like on the fifth or sixth season. He is just so powerful, right? Yeah.
And the thing I love about Jason and his story is that he never, like, he is who he is. And he's like, this is my culture. This is what I look like. And they're like, will you cut your hair to be on Stargate Atlantis? He's like, no, fuck off. This is my hair.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then the hilarious thing is in the last season, he shaved it all off and he had to wear a wig. But
we're not up to that season yet.
Oh, you can't tell.
All right. But I'm looking forward to it.
But look what's happened to the guy because he was true to who he was.
A lot of people didn't even recognize him in the movie that just came out where he played Aquaman. What was it?
Superman Batman?
Yeah. Civil War.
Superman versus Batman.
And they're like, wait, I know I've seen him before. I'm like, that's Jason Momoa from Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, from Game of Thrones.
A lot of people didn't know. But he's a powerful actor. And even when he's on Stargate Atlantis, I mean, you can even see it's like, he's there, you're going to work around him. Okay?
Yeah.
He's going to act.
But apparently he's the biggest
that.
Teddy bear in the world,
oh,
you know,
is.
If you talk to him, people who know him. So.
Well, I don't know him, but I've heard stories of people who worked with him said that he's just so gentle and loving.
But it's like we're talking about being, you know, comfortable in your skin. And it's like, I enjoy actors who are comfortable in their skin.
I personally love, Albert and I love people who are chameleons. And we are huge fans of Gary Oldman. Sometimes he's in a movie and you're like, where, what? He was in that movie? Where'd he go? But he's so powerful to us because he's toned down and he can play so many different characters. I think he's underrated personally, but he's a powerful actor.
Yeah, I think it took us a little time to realize he was in the new RoboCop.
They're like, what? He was in RoboCop? No.
He was just on Friends today. I was watching reruns of Friends. It's odd you bring that up.
David Schwimmer's a friend of mine. Wow. What was he?
It was the one where Monica and Chandler are getting married and Joey's working on the World War One movie and Gary Oldman spits all over him and then he gets drunk.
See? Wait.
I watched way too
much.
I gotta watch it again. No, being a hot, sexy, macho looking guy, do you and others like you get stereotyped for certain roles? Because I'm noticing a pattern, like Thor, and you get cast for like powerful, sexy, macho guys. Do you ever just play like the guy who's gotten dumped or, you know, or has some sort of mental illness? What?
I usually...
Tell us, and kind of segue into how important it is that people understand that when you're being cast, a cast director, the first thing they're going to look at is physical description. Mm-hmm. That's just it. Yeah. That's just it. Now, that always can morph because writers, you can come in as a person who doesn't look like what they're looking for, and they can rewrite the script depending on how powerful you are. So
I've never been lucky enough to have a script rewritten for me.
But, I have.
When they're getting to do the Green Lantern movie, they can rewrite it for me. I'd be happy to be in that.
We just had an actor in from the Green Lantern. Yeah.
I think that was the Green Hornet.
Oh, damn, I did it again. Sorry, Josh Ehrenberg.
So close.
I play Tom Wilkins' son. Okay.
Usually when I go, one problem I have when I go in is I have a unique look because I have longer hair and it grows a little bit and I'm a kind of 5 o'clock shadow now, but this is like 4 or 5 days worth of growth. Believe it, Vikings don't grow beards like you think we do. And so I go out for a lot of different roles. I don't go out for like commercial roles a lot. I mean, I do go out for, let me restate that. I don't go out for like commercial dad roles. I don't sell cereal.
Yeah.
I don't go out. I just don't. I go out for, like, I was in the Far Cry Primal commercial for the video game. I was a barbarian. I was the lead warrior. I go out for a lot of that, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But I enjoy the other stuff, too.
Yeah.
If you saw Damn Sharks, I was the comic relief, and it was so much fun because I like to do comedy, and I like to think I'm good at it. I think a lot of
you
people enjoy
really
that
You were really good in Last Call Murray, I tell you that.
You know, so if I can get in the door... If somebody will say, okay, well, he looks a little different. If I can get in the door, usually I can run the room.
Right. tell us how important it is for an actor to, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, but it's very important that actors know their genre, at least starting out, because physical appearance has a lot to do with it. It's just like when you watch shows like American Idol and you see people trying to sing rock and their voice is country, or they'll try to sing country and their voice is bluesy, and they're trying to force themselves into a mold or a look that's not exactly what it should be. So you can always morph into something later, but if you have a certain look, use that in the inception of your career.
I think there's actually like a bigger thing that you're touching on, and I'm going to hit the bigger thing. I think as a, not just an actor, but any part of this industry, you have to do your research. And your research doesn't just include, you know, watch the show you're going out for, or watch a director who the movie of a director that you're going out for, but know the casting director you're going out for. Know the network your show's on. Is it a kid's show? You don't audition the same way for a kid's show as you do for a drama. Are you going in for a DC Comics movie? Well, you better damn well know at least the basic characters.
Right.
You know, and the more research you do, without throwing it in their face. And I've seen actors who walk in there and they'll pull out, and I'm probably guilty of it once or twice in my younger years, but they'll pull it out and be like, oh, this is wrong. Superman would never do this. Superman would actually do this.
Yes.
Da, da, da. You know, and the more you know.
Yeah.
The more you know, you come in, and the better prepared you are, and your performance is going to be better, your banter is going to be better, because that's half the job, is talking to that person.
Right.
Because they're not only trying to figure out, are you right for this job? Do you look right for this job? Do you talk right for this job? They also want to know, are you going to come to set cracked out? Are you going to not be able to put two words together? Are you going to be so shaky? Because they need to make sure it's like a job interview.
That's right.
They don't want to hire somebody who's not be able to perform. Even if they do a great job, they're not going to be able to show up and be a functioning part of the set.
Right.
So you got a lot on there. The more prepared you are, the better
That's
you
right.
are. You cannot be too prepared.
And touching on what I said earlier, let the casting director, when you go for an audition, take the lead. For example, because I'm fluffy, I like to call myself fluffy, I have lots of friends who are producers, directors, and casting directors. So when they can't find a person, a regular actor, they'll call me and say, Priscilla, can you please come be my fluffy person? They just know to call me. Okay. So I went in to for a casting for Baskets with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah?
And I knew I wasn't right for this part, but I said, yes, I'll just go. They just need to fill the place up. You know how casting directors, I mean, agents and managers, they have to send a certain amount of people to. So I end up talking to, everybody was coming in and out like within 5 minutes, right? So I went in there and the casting director saw that I had an injury. And the next thing you know, she started talking about her toes and she had to have toe surgery. Well, we were talking for a half an hour and we created a whole bond, even though I was not right for this part for many reasons, but we've now become friends and she's like, oh, I got some stuff for you, because I told her I am not an actor. If it's one line, great. I cannot memorize shit. Don't even, if it's background, love it. If it's one word, love it. But if it's one sentence, no. So she's like, oh, I got tons of stuff. And it was just from us bonding over toes.
Casting directors are people too.
Let them take the lead, though. Don't try to, like, you know, talk. Because, again, that's that smell of desperation. So what other question do you have for him?
Well, speaking of memorizing lines, for someone like myself who has a memory of a goldfish, what are your techniques on memorizing your lines?
That's hard shit. It's hard. I don't know. Oh, the gong. We got 5 minutes. All right, make a count.
I will be the first to admit I am horrible at remembering lines. I have been my entire career.
Really?
And I started out in Shakespeare. So
it was
like
soliloquies.
Yeah, I played Hamlet, and learning Hamlet was like one of the most excruciating experiences of my life. And I know I still screwed lines up, because every night the director would be like, you missed this. And I'm like, it's a 4-hour play.
Oh, God. It's
just repetition and finding something that works for you. It's like self-tapes. We get a lot of self-tapes now, eco-tapes, because they want to save the paper, save the time. But a lot of casting directors now will send out literally 8, 9, 10 pages, and you have to memorize it on the fly. So just for me, it's just literally repetition, getting up and just going through it and going through it and going through it. And then as soon as my wife helps me self-tape, and as soon as she gets home, I'm like, guess what? We get to record. And she's like, ugh. And we'll run it like 7, 8 times. And by that point, I'm like, you know what? I think I got it. And the hardest part for me with memorization, not sticking back with auditions, is it's like the TSA. Not every airport's the same. Yeah. With casting directors, some want it word for word for word, and usually that's like children's shows or something like that because it's for timing. They need every single word right. Other casting directors, especially films, they're like, just get close. You don't have to be perfect. And but you don't know which one until you develop, I'm pointing over at you, relationships with the casting directors and get to know them.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, and so just be prepared to do both. Now, we only got 5 minutes. I want to know what exciting things are coming up for you, my Viking.
I'm begging for money.
Oh, that must mean you're producing something.
I am. Well, yes. I'm working on, we just finished the first round of financing. We're trying to nail down our seed money for a science fiction film that I wrote. And we are hopefully looking for February, March shooting. We're in the middle of, like I said, finishing the financing, starting to reach out to some of the actors, including people from Stargate. And but we're getting ready to do that. So that's taking a lot of my time. And we're finishing up some scripts. I have like 3 other scripts that I just finished up that my management's like looking at, and we're trying to get them out to people.
Are you requesting money? Are you doing a website crowdfunding campaign? Or
no, we talked with the producers, and just because of the way that we want to put this project together, and then the production company that's doing it, they feel very solid that they would rather go with a group of producers, executive producers and financiers, to bring in the money. That way it's just done, you know, and then they only work with them because they're trying to develop relationships for other pictures.
Because
it's always about relationships. Yeah. We don't just want to make one movie. We want to make a bunch of them.
Right.
You know, so working on that and looking forward to my vacation.
Oh, where are you going?
We go to Vegas every Christmas. And we
oh, my God, we go to Vegas every Christmas, depending on what week. Sometimes it's the first week, second week.
Yeah.
But every time we go, there's like blackout dates. So we don't get to watch. We never see Donnie and Marie. We got to see them one time. It was the best show ever. And they're like, damn, they're on vacation. It's hard to go around Christmas, Zach.
Well, we've been going to the same place for years. So like we just kind of call up the certain hotel. And they take good care of us. And we bunker in. I work, my wife and I, we work our ass off until the day before, and we go to Vegas and we don't gamble. We don't do
it. We just go to
like
shows.
Spas, massage, sleep.
Shows. Yeah, we don't gamble. We just go for the shows. So looking forward to the good ones. So we want to point out your website again. I want everybody to go visit his website. And hopefully you're doing some more Viking movies, because I want to see some Viking shit.
We're working on that.
Viking. You got to write Viking stuff for yourself.
Well, that's what's neat about this sci-fi project. It's kind of like Vikings in space a little bit. So that's all I'll tell you.
Where can we follow that? Do you put that on your website? Or?
I'm very active on Twitter and Instagram. Okay. I'm kind of ghosting Facebook a little bit right now with all the politics, but
it's just everywhere.
I had to draw a line in the sand. I'm like, you know what? And that's another thing. As a performer too, you have to be careful.
That's
you know,
right.
I don't have the clout to sway people's opinions, so I just kind of keep it to myself right now.
Yeah. Well, we were there. What was it, Albert, about the Star Trek captain? Some of them were.
Oh, yes. Trekkies for, I forgot what it was.
Trekkies for Trump?
Trekkies.
No. Anyway, there were a bunch of the Star Trek captains, and half of them, the only ones that didn't, who was it? We thought they were very smart not to comment for who they were voting for.
William
Shatner.
Didn't say anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and who else?
There were some other ones, but I can't remember.
Okay,
at this point, it's not about swaying opinion. It's just people screaming into the storm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why keep going?
That's a waste of time.
Well, we want to go. It is. So we want to go to Eric's website, theangryviking.com. He's on Twitter at EP Erickson and Instagram, theangryviking. And he's ghosting Facebook, but you can always follow him for a while. Well, after the elections, after the elections, then you can get back and he'll be happy to respond. And if you have any questions for him, you can feel free to email me and I will forward them to him.
Absolutely.
And Nikki, Nicole, I want to thank you for being the host today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Now, isn't he everything?
Oh, my God.
He is everything from the picture and more.
I have a thing for men with long hair. So.
Very respectfully, but you know.
Respectfully, yes.
As his wife, yes. You know, this man can't go out of the house without being attacked. The paparazzi.
She's a lucky lady.
You would be surprised how handsy some people do get.
Oh, my God. I
After 12 years, she's like, yeah, you can take him from 12 to 3. Just have him back for dinner, right? All right, everybody. Well, I want to thank you so much. Say goodbye to your fans, Eric Erickson.
Bye, Ray. Thank you for all the wonderful things you've been saying lately about Young and the Restless and Damn Sharks and Last Call at Murray's. It's been wonderful.
Carbon dating
as well. I love talking to all of you, so please keep up the tweets and Instagram. And anything you have, please send an email. I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, send an email. QuestionRealityShow.com. We're there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week, Question Reality. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.